Do you want Canaan or do you want the God of Canaan? Today we are looking at seeking Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say seeking Jesus. What do you want? Do you want Canaan or you want the God of Canaan? Because otherwise this message will be entitled Seeking Canaan. But it's seeking Jesus. Naletsana, it's seeking Jesus. Father, we thank you. Let's pray for the word today. We thank you, our Heavenly Father. We give you honor and glory. We give you the praise. There is none like you, Lord. We have never known. There is none like you in all of creation. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. And the church say?
Amen.
And the church say?
Amen.
Let's look at the man called John. We look at John in John chapter 1, and we look at John in 1 John chapter 1. We look at the man called John. The man who knew Jesus more than any of the disciples of Jesus Christ. Of the disciples, of the 12 disciples of the Lord, there is no man who knew Jesus like John did. There was no one closer to the Lord like John was. There was no one more intimate, no one intimate to the Lord. So it tells me, if you really want to know Jesus, go to John. There was no one more intimate to the Lord than John was. So John is worth of our hearing. Now, John chapter number 1 and verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God himself. That's John, right? Now, 1 John chapter 1, John in the epistle. It's interesting how he opens both his gospel and also his epistle. How he opened the gospel and how he opens his letter. Now, how does he open his letter? In 1 John chapter number 1, verses 1 through 3. 1 John chapter 1, 1 through 3. Now, listen to what John says. Now, he says, that which was from the beginning. But remember, just told you that in the beginning was the Word. Now, he says that which was from the beginning. And it just told us that in the beginning the Word was with God. In the beginning the Word was with God. Now, he says that from that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the Word of life, of the Word of life. Right? Now, it tells you what he is talking about. All right? That which was from the beginning, the Word, says the Word of life, which we have heard, the Word of life, which we have seen with our eyes. We saw the Word with our eyes, which we have looked upon. We looked upon the Word, and our hands have handled. He says our hands have physically handled the Word. Verse number 2, for the life was manifested, talking about the Word, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life. We show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. The Word became flesh. The Word was manifested to us. Can you see that? That's the fulfillment of Scripture. It is a fulfillment of Scripture. The Word becoming flesh, them handling the Word, seeing the Word, looking upon the Word of God. And verse number 3, that which we have seen and we have heard, we declare unto you. This is beautiful beyond measure for me. That which we have seen, that which we have heard, we declare unto you. Now he's saying, we are preaching to you a Jesus we know. We are preaching to you a Jesus we have heard. We are preaching to you a Jesus we have seen. We are preaching to you a Jesus we have looked upon. We are preaching to you a Jesus we have handled. Oh my goodness, what a blessing to preach about the Jesus you know and not the Jesus that you hear about. It says, now that which we know, we declare to you. How many today are preaching and teaching about Jesus they've never had an encounter with, are preaching and teaching about the Jesus they actually do not know? They don't know him. Now John says, We know him. We present to you that which we know. Now, there is something that John is revealing in his letter, in his writing, in his epistle about Jesus Christ. Number one, he says, he is the word of life. This is the word of life. Jesus is the word of life, number one. And number two, he says, he is the eternal life. He is the eternal life. So life is the person. Life is the person of Jesus Christ. Life is a person. The life we're talking about is a person. Eternal life is the person. It is the person of Jesus Christ. The Bible says, he who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son does not have life. You see, life is not some substance. Life is a person. Eternal life is not just a promise of something. Eternal life is a person. So when God, he promises eternal life, we know that we have the proof of it. We know we have the surety of it because we've got Jesus. He's our eternal life. It's not the stuff that we dream about. We don't dream about it. It is the stuff that we have. The reason why we are born again is because of Jesus. So as I am living, I already possess the eternal life. All right? It is because of the eternal life that I'm born again. It is because of the eternal life that I am a Christian. So it's not something that I'm hoping or dreaming about. It is my present, current reality. Present. Current reality. The person of our Lord and Savior. Romans 10 and 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, who is the word of God? Who is the word of God? Jesus. Jesus is the word of God. So he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing about Jesus. The faith, the true faith. Faith comes by hearing about Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing the message. It is the message about Jesus that brings faith to us. It is the message about Jesus that infuses us with the faith of God. It is the message about Jesus. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And now we know that this word of God is the word that manifested, is the word that they handled, is the word that they saw, it is the word that they heard. All right? Faith comes by hearing about Jesus. If you are not hearing about Jesus, no faith. If you don't hear the message about Jesus Christ, there is no faith. There won't be any faith. Friends, Jesus is the object of our faith. Our faith looks to Jesus. Our faith derives from Jesus. Our faith holds in Jesus. Our faith consists in Jesus. Our faith, Jesus is the object of our faith. Our faith derives from Jesus. Consists, upholds in Jesus. Now, that is faith. He is the object of our faith. Any word of faith, any message of faith that is not focused on Jesus is absolute, utter nonsense. Any word of faith that is not focused on Jesus, any message of faith that is not focused on Jesus is not the stuff that you should be listening to. Because the message, Jesus is the message. Jesus is the word. The word. Faith comes by hearing the word of God about Jesus, about the message about him, our Lord and our Savior. Any teaching, any preaching of the gospel that is not Christ-centered is pure rubbish. Everything in the universe of God, everything in the creation of God, everything in the kingdom of God centers around Jesus, revolves around Jesus, absolutely everything. Anything that does not have its center on Jesus, God does not even look at it. God rejects it. He rejects it. Christ is the object of our pursuit. He's the object of our devotion. He's the object of our love, the reason why we are here, the reason why we are preaching, the reason why we sing, the reason why we're praying in the morning, the reason why we are giving, the reason why we are offering. It is because of Jesus. He is the object of our pursuit. He is the object of our devotion. He is the object of our love. If that is not the case, then we are lost. Christianity is not a church service. Christianity is not a church service that you attend another day. The object is Jesus. The focus is Jesus. The pursuit is Jesus. The pursuit, our devotion, our love. Friends, everything was made by Him and it was made for Him. Everything was made by Jesus and everything was made for Jesus. Without Jesus, nothing was made that was made. Without Jesus, the Bible says, nothing was made that was made. Jesus is our ultimate pursuit. Jesus is our ultimate. If you come to church not pursuing Jesus, you've just wasted your time. You are really wasting your time. If you are singing in the choir and Jesus is not your pursuit, you are wasting your time, your energy, your resources. We are just wasting your effort. He's our ultimate pursuit. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Now it says, it continues and it says, and all these things shall be added to you. And all these things shall be added to you. But here's the thing that is clear in the scriptures. Jesus is the righteousness of God. He is the righteousness of God. Now when He says, seek ye first the kingdom and the righteousness. Now you seek the person. You seek the person of the kingdom. You seek the person who is the center of the kingdom. And that is Jesus Christ. Some people are seeking the kingdom of God. And they are seeking for the righteousness of God. But they are passing Jesus, who is the righteousness of God. He shortly was telling them, without me, no one can get to the Father. Without me, there is no access to the Father. Without me, you are literally doomed. Jesus is the righteousness of God. We are told to seek His kingdom and His righteousness. So friends, in all our seeking, we ought to seek Jesus. Simple as that may sound, but it's extremely profound. Simple as that may sound, but it is extremely profound. In all our seeking, we ought to seek Jesus. In all our seeking, we must seek Jesus. Do we really seek Jesus? Is Jesus at the center of our pursuit? Is Jesus at the center of my job? Is Jesus at the center of my business? Is Jesus at the center of my life? I want to do anything. I want to marry. I want to do that. But is Jesus the center? In all our seeking, we ought to seek Jesus. As simple as that may sound, but it's so profound. So profound. The reason why we live is to seek Him. The reason why our hearts are still beating is to seek Him. The reason why there's still breath in us is to seek Him. The reason why you are still alive is to seek Him. The reason why you are here is to seek Him. The lifespan that God has assigned a portion to each and every one of us is so that we may seek Him and so that we may know Him. You miss that, you might regret at the end of your life. He knows that you know church. He knows that you know religion. He knows that you know your pastors. He knows that you know your apostles. He knows that you know your prophets. No. Hey, Jesus, if you miss Jesus, you might regret it very much at the end of your life. It's not about church affiliation, this thing. It's not about denominational affiliation, this thing. It's not because I'm charismatic or because I am Catholic or because I am missionary or because I'm Methodist or because I'm Anglican, because I'm Episcopal, because you are whatever, because I'm Baptist. It's got nothing to do with it. Your being that will never save you. Your being that never saves anyone. But the word of life, the eternal word, the word of life, who is the eternal life. The word of God says clearly that Jesus has become for us. Jesus has become for us wisdom from God. Oh, that's awesome. He has become for us wisdom from God. He has become for us righteousness from God, sanctification from God, holiness from God, redemption from God. I mean, what else do you need? God has given us everything in His Son, Jesus. Jesus is the complete package. Jesus is the complete offering of God to man. I say Jesus is a complete package. Jesus is a complete offering. When God gave His Son to man, He gave an entire complete offering. There is nothing missing, nothing is lacking in Christ. He has become for us from the Lord wisdom, from the Lord righteousness, from the Lord sanctification, from the Lord He has become for us holiness and redemption. And we see that by way of scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. A fool has said in his heart that there is no God. 1 Corinthians 1 and 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30. Tell a neighbor, say, seeking Jesus. Now the Bible says, but of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us, who of God has become for us, who of God is made unto us, what? Wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Can you see that? He has become for us righteousness. He has become for us sanctification. He has become for us redemption. He has become for us wisdom. Jesus is the righteousness of God for us. This is why we are exhorted to seek Him. Seek ye first the kingdom and the righteousness. But who is the righteousness of God? But Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. He is the righteousness of God for us. There is no other righteousness of God other than His own Son. Your trying to live good is nothing. It does not achieve anything. You're trying to live wrong things is nothing. It does not achieve anything. The righteousness of God is Jesus. Now the Bible says, who has become for us righteousness from God? Righteousness is a person. The person of our Lord and our Savior Jesus. What has Jesus become for us from the Lord? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, holiness, redemption. Now, Proverbs. Chapter number 8. And Proverbs chapter number 4. Number 8, 17 to 21 says. Number 8, 17 to 21 says. Now, this is wisdom talking. Who is wisdom?
Jesus.
What has it become for us from the Father? Wisdom. Now listen to wisdom. Now verse number 17 says, I love them that love me. This is wisdom talking. And we know that Jesus is our wisdom from the Lord. So this is Jesus talking. Jesus says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Jesus is the object of our pursuit. He says, them that seek me. So the only thing to pursue and to seek in this life is Jesus. I love them that love me, and those that seek me. This is God talking. Friends, what are you seeking? What are you seeking? Are you seeking for riches? Are you seeking for fame, for popularity? Are you seeking for power? Are you seeking for honor? Are you seeking for these things? What exactly are you seeking? And you will see how foolish it is for us to seek things apart from Jesus. Let's quickly, we'll come back to chapter 8. Let's go to chapter number 4. Of Proverbs 7 to 9. 7 to 9. Proverbs 4, 7 through 9. Now it says, wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom is superior. Wisdom is supreme. Now, this is Proverbs. Now, this, the New Testament decodes the Old Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, he was telling you about Christ, but Christ coded, Christ encrypted. Can you see that? Now, the wisdom he's talking about the person. If you continue reading the entire chapter, you will understand what he's talking about. He's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. But because this was the Old Testament, he spoke about the Lord in codes. And we are given the keys, the access to the coding, in the New Testament. Now it says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Friends, if it's knowledge that you want, if it's knowledge that you seek, it is Jesus you are looking for. If it is understanding that you seek, it is Jesus you are looking for. If it is wisdom that you seek, it is Jesus you're looking for. Now, when we're talking about knowledge, understanding, and wisdom, we are talking about the person of God. It is the person of God. He is the complete package. Complete package. He is knowledge. He is understanding. He is wisdom. This is why the author of Proverbs says, in all thy getting, in your seeking, in your getting, let it be the principal thing, which is wisdom. And also get understanding. But also knowledge is key. But if you're seeking for that, you're seeking for Jesus. If you read Proverbs and you don't see Jesus, you may never find what you're looking for. I am saying, if you read Proverbs and you don't see Jesus, you may never find what you are looking for. Come on. You may never find it. Because if you are looking for understanding in the Proverbs, you are looking for Jesus. If you are looking for wisdom in the Proverbs, you are looking for Jesus. Can you see that? If you are looking for knowledge in the Proverbs, you are looking for Jesus. But if you cannot see Jesus in the Proverbs, you might never find what you're looking for. Might not come. Now, verse number 8, listen, let me start from 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. We know now what we're talking about, right, church? I say we know now what we're talking about, right? Now, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, listen, verse number 8. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. But we know he's talking about Christ. He shall promote thee. All right? She shall bring thee to honor. We know he's talking about Christ. Now, he says, when you embrace her. Verse number 9, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. We know we are talking about Christ. A crown of glory shall she deliver to you. We know we are talking about Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Seek him. Our ultimate pursuit is Jesus. Let's go back to chapter number 8 of Proverbs. Let's go back. 17 through 21. 17 through 21. Now it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early, they shall find me. Now listen, riches and honor are with me. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Riches and honor. If it's riches, that's why I say to you, Jesus is the complete package from God. He is everything and more that we are looking for. He is everything and more of what we are looking for. He is everything and more of what you need. He is everything and more of what you want. Riches and honor are with me. Yes, durable riches and righteousness. Now listen, my fruit is better than gold. Yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. Now, those who are seeking for money, those who are lovers of money, God says, yeah, I am. I am the gold you are looking for. I'm the silver you're looking for. I am the money you are looking for. I am the riches you are looking for. I am the wealth that you are looking for. If you're looking for honor, you're looking for status, you're looking for a name, I am the name that you are looking for. Seek me, he says. Seek me, he says. I love them that love me, and those that love me will seek me early. See, he's the complete package. It's actually more than what we bargain for. Jesus is more than what we bargain for. God giving unto us Jesus Christ as a complete package is more than what we bargain for. All the lovers of money in this house, the lovers of man who are listening to me, you might never ever in your life be rich, because all the riches as a Christian are in Christ. You might never ever be rich as a Christian if you don't see Jesus. And if anything else, if you're pursuing these things, they might hurt and harm you very badly. It's in the scriptures. The love of money. Says a lot of the people have pierced themselves harming and hurting themselves because of their love of money and the extent and the things that they are willing to do for it. And yet God says, here I am, everything that you need. And verse number 20, I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of judgment, that I may cause those that love me, I love them that love me, and those that love me seek me. Now he says that I may cause those that love me, to inherit substance. That word substance is wealth. It says, when you seek for me, I will give you wealth. I will give you wealth. And it says, and I will fill your treasures. Can you see that, church? Listen, friends, honestly, sincerely, seeking Jesus will make you rich in ways that you've never imagined. If you're seeking for him honestly and sincerely. Now, the problem is this. Instead of seeking Jesus, we are seeking for things in the name of Jesus. We want to use him to get what we want. You see, that is not honesty. That is not sincerity. No. It is neither honesty nor sincerity. Because if we're seeking him honestly and seeking him sincerely, he would make us rich in ways that we have never been accustomed to. Hallelujah. And not only that, in the chapter 6 of Matthew, he says, and all these things, they shall be added unto you. And all these things. But the Lord is saying, do not seek for things. Do not seek for wealth. Do not seek for riches. Do not seek for honor. Do not seek for power. Do not seek for renown. But seek for me. Seek for me. I love them that love me. And those that seek me, I'm going to give them all these things. I'm going to give them all these things. It's telling us how to get all of these things. All of these things are packaged. They are packaged in Christ. You want your business to succeed? It is in Christ. You want to do well at work? It is in Christ. You want to do well in your studies? It is in Christ. You want to do well in your life? It is in Christ. You want to do well in marriage? It is in Christ. The problem is this. We miss Christ completely. He is not the center. He's not the center. Hallelujah. Let's read the scripture we've been referencing, Matthew chapter 6, 32 and 33. Matthew chapter 6, 32 and 33. Now it says, For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all of these things. This is beautiful. What a love letter. What a love message. The Father says, I know that you are seeking for all of these things. I know that you want them. I know we are seeking for them. And God says, I know that you need them. But then he continues to say, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, God says, I will not deny you these things. I will give them to you. But seek first. Wisdom is the principal thing. Jesus is the principal thing in the kingdom of God. See, when you seek him, everything that the kingdom promises, everything that the kingdom offers becomes automatically yours. Are we together, church? It says, for all these things do the Gentiles seek for your heavenly Father. He knows that you need these things. You have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things, they shall be yours. Oh, what a God. He doesn't say, I don't like these things. I don't approve of these things for you because these things are worldly. No, God says, I want to give you the money. I want to give you the riches. I want to give you the world. I want to give you the best that the world has got to offer. I want to give you the best car that you seek. I want to give you the best house that you seek. Now, this is what he's saying. This is the reason why he says, and all these things, they shall be added. God says, I will give them to you. I know you want them. I know you need them. The people of the world are seeking for this. these things. They are pursuing after these things. Now God says, I am giving you a way, and the way that I'm giving you is not the way of the world. The way of the world is to go after these things, but my way, go after me and I will give you all of these things. You come after me. Come, I will give you. No. But we Christians, we want to seek things like the people of the world are seeking things. We want to work hard to be rich. We want connections. No. God says, listen for my way. I've got a way that is different from the way of the world. My ways of doing things are not like your ways. My thoughts are not like your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So are my ways higher than your ways. I have a way. I have my own righteousness. The way of God is called righteousness. This is the reason why Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. What is the way? The way is righteousness. The way of God is called righteousness. When Jesus Christ says, I am the righteousness, the way, he was telling you that it was the righteousness of God. Oh my goodness. Righteousness is the way of God. God is the way. You see? Unless we go by the way of God, we might not have what God has promised. Am I talking to somebody in this house? God is the way. You want to be rich, it's not sin. You want to be wealthy is not sin. You want the best things, the finer things in life, it is not sin at all. The only key is how, the way. Oh, come on, church. The only thing is the how. I am the way. I am the righteousness of God. I am how God does what he does. I am the way of doing things for God. See, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. He came to show us the way, he came to give us the way. Now we have the way of enjoying the best in life. Now we have the way of getting all the things that we desire. Now we have the way of possessing everything that God has promised us. We have the way. It is the way, not ways, not ways. There are no five ways of getting to God. There are no five ways to righteousness. The entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation is talking about one thing and one thing only, Christ. Christ. From Genesis to Revelation, Christ. If you don't see Christ, you'll come out empty. You'll come out empty. Hebrews chapter number 4 and 12 and 13. You people of God who like finer things in life, God is happy with you. You people of God who like the best things in life, God is very pleased with you. There's nothing wrong with that. But there is a way. Let him give you. Oh, come on, friends. The word of God just sets a lot of people free. It's good for you to drive that Range Rover Sport. It pleases God. That Bentley pleases God. That Maserati is pleasing to God. That Porsche is pleasing to God. I mean, that big Mercedes is pleasing to God. That V12 Bi-Turbo is pleasing to God. That house that is hanging on the hill, you think it's going to fall anytime, but it's not falling. That house is very much pleasing to God. Glory to the one above. I say glory. Now the word of the Lord says, for the word of God, underline for the word of God. Now we know when it says for the word of God, what he's talking about, right? Now we know. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. Wait a minute. Verse number 12, he says, for the word of God. Verse number 13, now he says his. Now, the word is talking about Jesus. Can you see that? Verse number 12, he says, for the word of God. Now, verse number 13, he's still talking about the word of God. But when he talks about the word of God in verse number 13, he says he's to tell you that he's talking about Christ. Now, he says, and there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Hallelujah. Now, the writer of the Hebrews, he reveals two things to us. Number one, he reveals two things about Jesus. And number one, that Jesus is the living word of God. For the word of God is living. Right? So Jesus is the living word of God. And number two, he reveals to us that Jesus is the almighty God. The word of God is living and powerful. But you see, he's talking about the person. Jesus is the living word of God, and Jesus is the almighty God. He is the almighty God. Jesus is the active, the doing, the working, the creating, the revealed, the inspired word of God. Jesus is the active, the doing, the working, the creating, the revealed, inspired word of God. This is our Lord. This is Jesus. Jesus Christ is the omniscient word of God. Omniscient word of God. He is the all-knowing, the one that we seek, the one that we are called upon to seek, the one that we are exhorted to seek. He is the all-knowing word of God. It just told you in the scripture we just read, it just told you. Hallelujah. He says, he pierces, he's all-knowing. He pierces even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow. Jesus is a discerner, is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. He's talking about a person, the person of the Holy Trinity. He's talking about Jesus himself. The one who's sharper than any two-edged sword is Jesus. The one who's the discerner is Jesus. When he says he's the discerner, he's telling you he's the all-knowing, he's the omniscient one. Now he says he pierces even to the division of the soul and the spirit and the joints and the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. This is Jesus he's talking about. This is Jesus. Jesus, he knows what is in the heart and the mind of every man. You are sitting here, every one of us here. Jesus knows what is in your heart. He knows what is in your mind. He is the word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. He is the word that divides asunder. He is the word that pierces. You see that? He knows what is in the mind. He knows what is in the heart of every man. The Bible says all things are naked and they are open before him. All things are naked and they are open before him. Now, friends, what is the application? What is the implication and the application of this? This is to say, when we seek Jesus from the purity, from the sincerity of our heart, then Jesus reveals himself. This is the word we've been talking about from last week. But this word is a person. Now, this word is packaged with everything that we require and more. But the character and the characteristic of this word, one, it is the living word of God. Two, this word is the almighty God himself. But three, this word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Nothing is hidden. You cannot hide. He says, knows the intents of the heart, the thoughts and the intents of men, the word. He's the all-knowing word of God. Now, when you're seeking Jesus, without sincerity, without honesty, you'll come back empty. Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. That's Jesus right there. But he's an all-knowing God. the one that we have to seek. Listen to the man of God talking about this same subject to Timothy. We find this in 1 Timothy chapter number 1. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, verses 3, 4, and 5. Why is it that I've been seeking the Lord? I've been seeking Jesus, but I don't know. I'm not seeing. No. Your genuineness, your sincerity, your honesty. Where is your heart? When we spoke about this last Sunday, when you are seeking, when you are reading the word, what is your motive? What are you looking for? You see, before you complain, I've been in church for so long, but things are not working for me. No. We're talking about the one who understands and knows the intent and the motives of the heart. What was the intent and the motive of your heart in doing what you have done, in spending all this period that you have spent? See that? Lest you accuse God, the one who is the truth, the one who is infallible. 1 Timothy 1, 3 to 5. Now it says, Timothy, as I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. So this is about the teaching. It's about doctrine. Paul says that you charge some that they teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies which cause disputes rather than godly edification which is in the faith. Sad to say that those things are still happening today. There are still people, they say, we are the direct descendants of Abraham, therefore we are the true people of God. There are still people like that to this day, and other races are not. See that? And all of that is nonsense. Now it says, forget about that, Timothy. That's pure rubbish. That's pure nonsense. Verse number 4, he says, verse number 5. Now the purpose, Timothy, the purpose of the commandment, the purpose of the teaching, the purpose of the preaching, the purpose of the gospel, the purpose of the word is love from a pure heart. If somebody comes to God, they must approach God with a pure heart. Right? It is love from a pure heart. It is love from a good conscience. It is love from sincere faith. This is what he's saying to Timothy. He says the purpose of our commandment, of our teaching, is that people may genuinely seek for God and not seek for things. Now he says, this is the reason that we preach. This is the gospel that we present to you. Listen to Amplified verse number 5. Amplified verse number 5 says, but the goal of our instruction is love which springs from a pure heart. It must come from the heart. It must come from the heart, church. This is the response the Lord is looking for to the gospel. The response the Lord is looking for to the word. God is looking for a pure heart. He's looking for a good conscience. He's looking for sincere faith. We preach Sunday in, Sunday out, week in, week out. You see, the problem, the issue is not about what to hear and how you hear it. The issue is the response. It is the response. Friends, God is looking for an honest, sincere response. Honest and sincere. Honest and sincere. The only thing to be sought in the kingdom of God is Jesus Christ himself. But God says, I'm looking for honesty. The heart is the heart issue. Christianity is a heart issue. Christianity is not a performance issue. Christianity is not about the issue of impressing. Christianity is a heart issue. Christianity is not about external. Christianity is not the things we do outside. Christianity is about that which springs sincerely and purely from the heart. See, that is Christianity. I don't need to tell people I love God. No. My heart knows better. I don't need to tell people I love God. No, it's none of your business. It's the business of my heart. You see, God is looking for sincerity. He has the word of God. There's the Bible. When you're seeking, how are you seeking? We spoke the other week about perspective and perception. Perspective. What is our perspective? See that? Remember, the Bible says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of the soul and the spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and they are open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account, the God with whom we have to deal. Church, there is nothing hidden. Are you looking for him today? It does not matter the answer you give, he knows. It does not matter your answer, he knows. Did you come here for him? It does not matter your answer, he knows. Why are you a Christian? Why are you a member of the church that you are a member of? You see, whatever answer you can give, it does not matter, he knows. He is the living, powerful Word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I love this. It says, nothing is hidden from him. Everything is naked and open. This dressing you put, you are putting for yourself and for men. God sees beyond the dress. He sees what is exactly inside the dress. Everything is open and naked before him. Have you stopped to think and ask yourself, the souls that are in heaven, the spirits that are in heaven, those that are in heaven, what kind of clothing are they clothed with? What are they wearing? There's no cotton there. There's no cotton in heaven. Hey, there's no Adidas there. There's no Nike there. You see that? There's no Gucci. You see, the things that we treasure here on earth, pure rubbish before God, pure nonsense. Then we spend so much money. When people look at it, they say, oh, this person from the head to the toe, they are wearing 100,000 rands or 500,000 rands. Pure nonsense, pure rubbish with God. The word of the Lord says in Jeremiah chapter number 29, and verse number 13, chapter number 29, and verse number 13. The Lord says, and you will seek me, and not seek for money, not seek for gold, not seek for silver. Seek me, not seek for houses, not seek for things, not seek for children, not seek for spouses, not seek for business, not seek for wealth, not seek for riches. No, but if you seek me, you will find me. Come on, church, is that clear enough? What are you seeking? What is the motive? What is the motive? When you seek me, you will find me. When you search for me, when you seek for me with all your heart. Underline. Now, that's the key. With all your heart, it is a hard thing. Christianity, from beginning to end, is a hard thing. What is in the heart? What is the motive of the heart? What is the intent of the heart? Friends, today, listen to this. God is looking for your heart. God is looking for your heart. Anything less won't do. Anything besides won't do. God is asking for your heart. Will you give him your heart today? That's what he's looking for. He says, I know the thing that you have need of. Even unbelievers, pagans, Gentiles, people that don't believe, God says they are seeking after these things, but I don't want you. I don't want you to seek after them. I want you to seek after me, and then I will give you all of these things that the Gentiles are seeking for. I do not want you to seek. So that means if we are seeking, pursuing these things, it is direct disobedience. You will seek me and find me. Me. Are you seeking for me? Are you looking for me? Are you searching for me? Do you desire me? You will seek me and find me when you seek for me with all your heart. This is Christianity 101 right here. This is Christianity 101 right here. Me, God says, seeking for me. Let me close today with the close with Hebrews 11 and 6. Father, we bless you. The word today is seeking Jesus. It's seeking Jesus. We've been talking about Jesus from how many weeks now when we talk about the word? And the entire week we're talking about Jesus when we're talking about the word. The word that is creative. The word that is able to give us anything that we desire, because the word is creative. The word is creative. God uses the word to call those things that be not as though they were. You see, the word is not just working for you, but it's working for God. God, he speaks the word, and the word produces exactly what God is looking for. This is the word of God that produces exactly what we are looking for. But the same word of God is the discerner of the intents and the motives of the heart. This same word of God, nothing is hidden from this word of God. Everything is naked and open to this word of God. This is what we are talking about. This word of God, the response that is required, the response that is requisite, the response that is necessary, it is a pure heart, sincere, honest heart. What is your motive? What is your motive? What is the motive, as it were? Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, diligently, that's heart. Diligently seek him. God is a rewarder. There are rewards for seeking God. Now, this I find amazing. God says, seek me and I will reward you. And here's the thing. The seeking for God is not good for God, but good for me. And yet God, he incentivizes me. He gives me an incentive. He says, when you seek for me, I'll reward you. Oh, come on, church. I'll reward you. He says, you're not seeking me for nothing. I will reward you. You're not seeking for me for nothing. I will reward you. When you seek for me diligently from the heart, he says, I will reward you. I will reward you. It is a heart issue. He's looking for the heart. It is a pure heart. It is a sincere heart. It is an honest heart that God rewards. If there are no rewards, you know the problem is in the heart. It rewards a pure, sincere heart. The Amplified puts it this way. 11 and 6, Amplified says, but without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and to please him. For whoever comes near to God must necessarily believe that God exists and that God rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Friends, are we earnestly and diligently seeking God, or we are doing church? Honestly, majority of us, we are doing church. This is why we think that a church service is Christianity. When we've attended a service, we are very happy. Because as far as we are concerned, that one day in the week, that one Sunday in the week, we are thinking this is Christianity. Of course not. Christianity is a life to live. It says it's the word of life. He says it's eternal life. That's what Christianity is. It's not the church service you attend on Sunday. It is not the church conferences that you attend. It is not the Bible school that you attend. It is not the so-called prophetic school that you attend. That's not Christianity. And we have convinced ourselves and thereby deceive ourselves to say this is Christianity. But God says, who is an earnest and diligent seeker from the heart? It's God talking. From the heart. For some of us, we come on a sprint to say, Lord, I want God to do this and this 1, 4, 7, and 8 for me, right? And rima fulu fulu. We are on fire. We're on fire. But this fire, what is feeding this fire is wrong, right? We're on fire for God. And then when the things that have set us on fire for God don't come by, then we fall flat. This is a life of many so-called a Christian. Many so-called a Christian. That's why many Christians, they love God. They see God, they worship God, they praise God. As long as things are going well for them. See? That's a deception. He's looking for sincerity. He's looking for honesty. How earnest and sincere are we? Is it Jesus we're looking for? The presence of God is wonderful. But the presence of God is to lead us to Him. I say the presence of God is wonderful. But the presence of God is to lead us to Jesus. Let's clap hands for Him today. What are you seeking? Can you see that? Simple. What are you seeking? Jesus is the all-knowing Word of God. You don't please Him by going to church. You don't please Him by taking church membership. You don't please Him by becoming a Christian. No. He's the God of truth. He's looking for genuineness. He's looking for truth, sincerity, earnestness in the heart. And right here, I can tell you, a lot of us, if you are sincere, right here, right now, a lot of us who thought we were born again, we're actually not born again. Right here, right now, a lot of us who thought we knew God, we actually did not know God. But again, this is your heart with God. It's the issue of the heart. How long will you continue on this fallacy, on this deception, on this lie? Trying to reproduce God. And you are trying to reproduce God. You know, there's no God. But you are busy trying to reproduce God. Right? You don't do that if you are truly born again. God manifests. I say you don't do that when you are truly born again. God manifests. Don't reproduce God. No. He manifests. Are you a Christian? He manifests to you. Are you a Christian? He walks with you. Are you a Christian? He lives in you. You live in Him. Are you a Christian? He talks to you. You hear Him. Are you a Christian? You talk to Him. He hears you. All right? And there will be rewards. There will be results. Where are the rewards? Salvation is a reward. Redemption is a reward. Relationship with God is a reward. Knowing Him is a reward. I don't want to go to the small things. Money, wealth, and riches, those are tiny. Those things are the lowest on the rung of heaven, the lowest. Tiny stuff.